Yo, 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 On Deckers, welcome to episode 321 of the On Deck TV podcast. We appreciate you joining us again. We are reviewing the Wale album. Wow, that's crazy. We're going to do it On Deck TV style as we do. This week's episode is brought to you by Patreon. I hope you guys are enjoying the additional stuff that we're putting over there. Content creators are creating, and we hope y'all are enjoying it. Just recently, we hit up Conway, Animal Brown, and myself got to go review that album. So y'all go check out the reviews, and we got some special stuff coming to you all through the month of October. Also, this show is brought to you by RealVilleMedia.com. Go to RealVilleMedia.com. There's a contact page. On the contact page, we are taking all emails and requests for interns, for show mailbag stuff. So go there. Use the contact page. Reach out to us. Interact. Also, every show on the network is also on the RealVilleMedia.com page.
Yes, sir, man. That is including the Full Sport Press podcast. Make sure you check out their latest episode, 292. They're creeping up on 300, man. That's a big milestone, guys. I see it around the corner. On this last episode, they are previewing the NCAA basketball season that's on the way. Also, check out Fresher Than Your Average. New episodes every 1st and 15th. That's me and my dog, J-Hove, talking big boy fashion shit, all right? Now, let's not waste any time. Let's get to this rap talk. What it do with the business is.
It is another week in the books. It's the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holler at your boy Animal Brown, Animal underscore Brown, if you're looking for me.
They're not. I am Spike Lou on the same social sites. Check me out.
All right, man. Producer M Extra, what's goody?
What's going on? It's your boy M Extra, a.k.a. the Minister of Culture, a.k.a. the champion of Toon Trials. Yes, sir. A lot of talking down, and I came up on top. Pause.
Shout out to guy named Diddy, man. That was a shout fun out the name. Experience. Yep. The video came out very nice.
Absolutely, man. Shout out to the Report Card Podcast, Dame Diddy. That was good. Two-part. For the people that don't know, Toon Trials is a game show on YouTube that we were a part of. It's testing your music knowledge. So naturally, Lou came last. And
yeah, I was hot about it. I didn't realize.
Shout out to Jane Q Public for giving me the only competition.
I sent it to my mama. She said, "You finished last?" Yes.
Everybody was like, everybody, yes, my friends, mama, was like, "Spike Lou is terrible." Hey,
man. Yeah, he must be new to the show.
They shucked me.
What you have on deck, man, other than coming in last place?
Y'all run with that little trophy. Y'all run with it. An eventful weekend. We got to go to A3C conference and enjoy that. It was a nice setup, man. I like what they did with it. It was new this year as far as how they had it. Yep. Succession season finale. Fire.
Really? No.
Absolutely
spoilers, please.
Fucking fire.
Okay.
And I also watched El Camino.
How was it? Mm. No spoilers.
No spoilers.
Slow burn.
To be completely honest, didn't need it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to look at it, and I ain't going to spoil anything, but you're going to, like, I ain't need that.
My homeboy told me it looked like they just got on Vince Gilligan nerves and just, yeah, they wouldn't stop blowing, like, his phone. He was like, fine, take this.
He was like,
this.
Dude, if y'all are going to give me $60 million for this shit, then here, right, you can have it.
All right. Like, fair enough.
It wasn't, you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to check it out, though.
What you guys have up this weekend?
Yeah, like you said, A3C, that was popping. Had a good time. Met a lot of people. Shout out to the new people listening that we ran into at A3C. Yeah. But real quick, I heard, did y'all watch Dion Cole?
Yes.
Stand up.
I heard that was good. People are comparing that really to Bill Burr and David Chappelle.
It was really funny.
People are saying it's funny as fuck. Real quick, I did hear a joke. This is going to let you know if you want to fuck with it or not.
Okay.
Because I did not watch it, but somebody told me one joke. They said, have you ever been somewhere and you saw a badass gal that was so bad that you met a new friend in the process? And a lot of people really didn't get it. And then he elaborated. He said,
"That's funny."
He seen a gal walk by. I was like, "God damn, she bad as hell." But then she turned around and seen another nigga looking at her too.
Yeah.
And then he looked at him and was like, "Damn, you see that, fam?" He like, "Nigga, hell yeah, she thinking a motherfucker." He like, "Damn, it be like that over here." He like, "Hell yeah, man. Usually on the weekends, it be crazy." He said, "Hey, man, my name Dion, bro." Nigga, I met a new friend. That's funny.
A whole new friend.
Go to.
A whole new friend.
So I might fuck with it off the strength of that joke. That shit was hilarious.
He funny on Blackish too.
Stop.
Yeah, you went too far. Yes, he's hilarious on Blackish.
It's very funny on Blackish. He might be the funniest person on there.
It's Capish.
You don't watch Blackish?
Not at all.
Oh, well, why do you know?
Because I've tried to watch it. I don't watch it on any regular basis.
Blackish is a great black Emmy winning and nominated show on ABC. My weekend consists of the same thing. I went to A3C with you guys.
Yep.
You guys didn't crap my style too much, so it was all good. So that was fun. We met a lot of people.
Shout out to FSP Cameraman for complimenting on us on our color coordination.
Absolutely.
I didn't know we were color coordinated.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Me neither.
I think he color blind.
Yeah. That might be
maybe
it.
The thing.
Yeah. Shout out to Nigeria. We we got a also I did on Sunday. I went to shout out to Kirsten, the whole ATL, the whole Atlanta pop up at Peter Street Station yesterday. It was fire. It was amazing. It had so much nostalgia. It took me back. Shout out to all the peeps I ain't seen in a long time who came as well. Kirsten, you did your thing. I love you.
It is. Now we got some music to get to, y'all. Now, let's talk Tekashi, man. More Tekashi news. Isn't that awesome?
Why are we still talking Tekashi?
I know.
Yay.
A report has surfaced that the record label 10K Project Records has signed the currently incarcerated rapper to a $10 million deal. Mm-hmm. Now, the deal allegedly consists of a two-album agreement, one album in English and one album in Spanish. Now, with his release date still rumored to be as early as Christmas this year, do you believe that Tekashi signed a new deal?
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I'm not sure if this is 100% true. I haven't seen anything credible on it, but I believe it's possible. And if they did sign him for $10 million, then they got a deal in this deal, whoever this label is. Like, he's going to get out, and I took back what I said as far as him not being able to make music. He is going to be able to capitalize off this, and he'll be able to capitalize heavily, as we've seen with the leak of this deal. And then the label that signs him and puts the promo dollars behind him and takes the chance, they're going to be able to make money too. I know there's a risk with him going on tour and people saying that they don't want to take the insurance liability. Of course, that's a logical thing to say.
Yeah.
But in actuality, stuff is made on the internet nowadays. If they can put
just like the story.
They can do invite-only shows. They can do all type of mockery as to where they're adding to the lure of him. They can do this whole media campaign about him being the snitch that got away. Whatever they want to do,
that'd be interesting.
They have the possibility. They have the capability of being able to do so, and we see that by them throwing $10 million at a record deal. Who's telling what they're gonna put towards the marketing deal to make sure that this $10 million don't fall flat on its face? So I feel like it was a good deal.
Yeah, I do. I see. At first, I was going to say, even though I've been on record saying I do believe he will make music when he gets out, I didn't think that someone would jump at him this early for this large amount of money. And then I thought about it. The 10K Project Records, they're the same people who released his album earlier this year, whatever, that Dummy Boy or whatever the fuck it was called. It was late last year. Who knows? Mm-hmm. That was the same company that he signed with. So they already have been dealing with him. They knew the risk previously dealing with him. And so they're more likely than someone new to come and deal with him, in my opinion, because it's paid off for them. Let me read to you the last four videos he has on YouTube. The Billy video has 311 million views. Gummo has 358 million. Fifi has 777 million views. And then BB, that's the joint with the Spanish feature on it, has 916 million views. If y'all think that there's a company, a record label, marketing company, whatever, sitting back, seeing these numbers right here, and they're not finna jump at the chance to sign this dude for whatever, even if it's just like a short 3-month run of as much videos we can get out, as much streams, as whatever, man, y'all are tripping, dude. They are out here. They probably weren't the first people. They probably had to outbid somebody else.
Oh my God.
Dude is going to come out and make a record. I think doing one in English and one in Spanish, trying to tap into that vibe, was smart, though.
I don't even think they should do one in English. You just straight go to the Spanish market and cash in. Yeah. Like, I don't think people being realistic about what they expecting to happen to do. Like, if he gets out on Christmas and he snitched on these people, so, like he's not going to get shot on stage. Like, people are bringing up liability and insurance. Like, nobody not running up on this nigga, like, finna hit him. Like, nobody. This is not happening. So, a company would be smart to invest this money. Like you just said, like, there's the loss probably would have to do with him fucking it up himself again. Like, if he got into a kerfuffle with someone and he caused it. Yeah, but if I'm a record company, I'm not scared of him being out there on the road and a nigga, like, sniping him or nothing. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. Yeah. It's rap, dude. Like, these niggas was bloods from, like, and it's no disrespect to them, but these is a local gang from fucking, where were they from?
The Bronx?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, the Bronx. Yeah. Like, a local gang from the Bronx, fam. Like, what we doing here?
What do you mean?
Like, they're not, if you're doing a show in Omaha, Nebraska that's sold out, I'm not scared of them niggas having that much pool.
I feel you.
That's what
I don't believe this like you guys do. I'm rolling with Meek Mill on this one in today's narrative on the internet. It's 100% propaganda. So, I mean, I'm not rolling. I what's that Monique GIF?
I don't know.
I would like to see it.
Oh, it's going
to
happen.
Are you saying that you would like to see it because you just don't think or you don't think that anybody's going to give him any
money? No, I don't think this particular story. I mean, everybody's running with it. I don't think this has credibility, has legs because of who he is. But I just think it's bullshit.
Do you think it's the number? You think it's because too high?
I just think it's period, the whole story in general.
Wait, tell me where does...
Because all of a sudden, Tekashi, $10 million deal, just doesn't...
But who leaked something like this? Would you say that record label, his camp, what and why?
I don't know.
He don't even have a camp.
Hypothetically
speaking.
I don't know. I don't want to hypothetical.
Smart fella.
I'm smart enough not to be hypothetical about this dumbass situation.
I mean, we on a podcast talking, dude. Like,
dumb. I just
what
don't believe
do you
it.
Think?
I just don't believe it.
So you think that this story just came out of thin air and people are like, well.
Stranger things have happened.
Okay.
Do you want to tell me it's on the internet?
No,
I say it's true because it's on the internet?
I just want to know who it benefits to float the story out. That's what I'm asking.
Nobody. Mm. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
That's my point.
I guess we'll see in December, huh?
Like, wouldn't this record label come out and be like, nah,
we
ain't
got
shit to do with this.
Yeah.
Or wouldn't his team that he's just in place.
Does he have
like,
a team?
Nah, he got to have a team right now. How y'all think that all this
team?
Shit is getting out?
Who's his team?
Who's leaking the transcripts?
Who's his team?
Y'all I don't think that's his team.
Y'all think Hip Hop DX going to the courtroom and reporting on this?
Transcripts?
Yes, because like he's been the most search person online. This adds to his lure. Yes, his team would leak this.
Again, all this is bullshit to me.
Well, listen, we're not saying the situation is when nobody's like co-signing.
No, I'm saying I don't believe it. I don't believe this. I don't believe this record deal. I don't believe any of this.
I know.
I'm damn sure don't believe motherfuckers say let's leak his testimony to make him popular.
But he is. But let's be fair though. If he got out,
his team would be behind it if it did.
If he got out, first of all, his whole career is built on doing things that wouldn't seem like they would be popular, and then they turn out to be popular. So
it's not by mistake.
These
things are happening.
We already wasted too much time talking about this clown.
He's coming out, and he's going to drop, and it's going to pop.
People wasted 3 days of their lives to go. Like this was the biggest thing. Like. On social media for 3 days.
That's a fact.
And we sit in beforehand and said, he ain't going to be able to do nothing. And we were shown wrong. This generation
speak
is.
For
well, what were we shown? How were we shown wrong?
Even the attention that has been shown to this to this point is not normal. Like, this not
I knew
a
it was
going
to be a lot of attention to this. Why wouldn't it be? It's the biggest. Scandal.
Okay,
in
well,
sense.
That doesn't make any sense. You're saying I knew it would be a lot of attention.
Yeah,
but I don't
to
think
the trial.
I don't think anyone would give him $10 million.
Yeah, I don't believe the story.
So why?
I don't believe the story. We're talking about two separate things. The trial and the story are two different
people
things.
People gave him $10 million because of the attention.
No, they didn't.
From
we
the
do
trial.
We have a? You, this is hearsay.
Hypothetically speaking, he receives a record deal or is going to receive a record deal because of the attention that he got from the trial.
Did y'all hear the numbers
you
on YouTube?
So? Did you think so?
Did you hear the numbers on YouTube?
Yeah, I was. That would be a reason more than a trial to give somebody.
I mean, well, either way, I believe it. I don't know if the numbers exact. See, this is how they do the numbers, though. You don't sign a $10 million deal and then they go. Hey, here's your $10 million check up front. No, bro. Like it's a
we
lot of
that
stuff is backloaded and dependent on hitting milestones in X, Y, and Z. So nobody is saying somebody just dropped off a duffel bag of $10 million.
Yeah, we know he ain't $10 million, but that's more.
Like I'm with Meek, man. Propaganda.
Yeah, he'll be out and
Meek would know.
Meek will fuck around and jump on a song.
Definitely, right. Meek will never jump on a song with that nigga ever.
right, man.
No rapper, no smart rapper would.
Let's keep it New York, Hot 97. Now, Brooklyn Nets forward Kevin Durant stopped by Ebro in the morning on Hot 97 to discuss the upcoming NBA season. When Ebro asked Durant what he's listening to, Durant replied, Freddie Gibbs. Now, Ebro suggested Rosenberg go ahead and play that Palm Olive record, all right? Rosenberg replied, man, if I play that, I get in trouble, end quote. Durant said, why? And that's when Ebro stepped in to explain. Now, listen to his explanation. It's most of the people in their car right now. When we play this Freddie Gibbs and Mad Lib song, they're going to hear some great raps, but they like to sing along with songs with melody. It's because of how people listen during their commute times. It's not really political. My question is this a legitimate reason why underground music doesn't get played in prime time?
Yes, 100%. Ebro is a program director. This is science. Like, these are facts that are like, people study this. Marketing companies study this. How often do you listen to BPIMs?
BPMs.
What do they call it? All of this is studied as far as what people pay attention to, what they stay in their car for, what they change the channel when the BPM changes. So, I mean, yeah, I do 100% believe that. Kevin Durant isn't a big, he don't like structure a lot.
Okay.
Like he speaks, in my opinion,
okay,
he speaks out a lot against the NBA structure and the reporters and how they aren't, you know, what he likes. And even with this, he's like, well, why can't y'all just play what y'all want? Because there are million-dollar ads that go in between these songs, and we're trying to keep people's ears here. So, yeah, I 100% think Ebro is, if you don't like his opinion or not, I do think that he's great at his job. As far as being a program director, and I mean, I think he's speaking facts here.
Yeah, and that's how you keep your job, by playing music that people stay on long enough to listen to those million-dollar ads in between the records. My question, though, it would be interesting, what would happen if they did play some of this during the day, though?
You get fired.
You don't think
I mean, but he did. They did play the record, though, for context.
Okay, yeah. That's fair.
They played it. Rosenberg was saying, he was saying it in jest to be funny. If I picked this and played it, it would be a fire.
Because he said that. Rosenberg said that he can play something like that on his joint, late night after hour, whatever it's called.
Cool plug, Rosenberg.
He said he can play it on his show on the late night, 6 to 10 or whatever the fuck it is. But I'm saying, if they play more records like this and less repeating the same songs over and over and over again, I'm not even saying play Palm Olive over and over and over again. You can still play the Cardi B and fucking Bruno Mars, but sprinkle some of this in. Would it really be that big of a drop-off, though? Honestly, like, for people that still listen to the radio, shout out to y'all.
They say it would. I mean, because they say if you do that, then you never know when people are tuning in and tuning out. So if you got somebody that just hopped in there for the
and they
cut their radio on and Palm Olive is playing, and that ain't what they're looking for, they change that instantly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
Go ahead. Now, that's one of the reasons I don't listen to the radio.
Yeah, radio,
like,
trash.
I could, like, I don't see how someone listens to the radio and listens to the same shit over and over and over again. I never understood it.
I think it's because they do like – see, that's the thing, though. A lot of that stuff is catchy and melodic.
Yeah, I get that part. The artists are doing their job. I get that part. But I'm just saying, it's no way I could just sit there, turn to this station, hear the same song, turn to this station, hear the same song.
Yeah, nah, people do that.
People like it.
They'll station jump between six stations until it finally changes to something else.
So here's a question. What's more beneficial for you if you're Freddie Gibbs, having the second most popular basketball player on the planet talk about your album, or being played on the radio?
Being played on the radio.
Really? I think this story right now is enough, because people want to go check it out. I guarantee off the strength of this.
Well, just if the story weren't there, which one would you choose?
He wouldn't be underground if they played it during prime time.
He wouldn't what?
He wouldn't be underground if they did that. He'd be mainstream at that point. Like, that's kind of the difference between the underground and the mainstream person is when they get played.
But if I'm Kevin Durant and I'm listening, if I'm pulling the LeBron James move and I'm listening to Freddie Gibbs on my Instagram that has 30 million followers, isn't that just as good?
Yeah, that's why I said I think it's just as good as him playing. Because one nigga playing it one time as opposed to somebody saying, this is what I'm listening to right now.
But y'all know when it come out, LeBron and do the whole thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right.
Kevin Durant did that for his
that's
album.
That's what I just said. Yeah, I think this Kevin Durant cosign is big.
Nah.
People are checking this song out just because of this story.
No, you're right about that, and because
that's
he's getting the story's getting picked up in different places. And I saw a couple articles that were like, in case you didn't know who Freddie Gibbs was, he's from
exactly.
You know what I mean? So that may cause some people. That's true. It's getting picked up on different avenues.
But Freddie Gibbs, I mean, we talk about this all the time. Freddie Gibbs is an underground artist. He knows he's an underground artist. He for knows sure. his fan base. He knows when they pick the tour, they know what venues to pick. They know who's going to be in the seats. He knows all of this. So this is no surprise. If anything, he was probably happy that this was even a topic.
Is anybody surprised that Durant listened to Freddie Gibbs?
Oh, no. Durant is a hip-hop head.
1,000,000%.
Yeah, hip-hop head for sure.
Look at his hair. 1,000,000% the hair of a nigga that listened to Freddie Gibbs.
I don't even know what that means.
You should.
So disrespectful.
I don't even know what that means.
All right, man, moving on. Drake's dad, Dennis Graham. Shout out to Dennis Graham, Papa Drake.
Dennis.
He made an appearance on Nick Cannon's Power 106 show and made some interesting comments regarding the relationship with his superstar son. Quote, I had a conversation with Drake about that. Mm. I have always been with Drake. I talk to him, if not every day, then every other day. Mm. And we really got into a deep conversation about that. And I said, Drake, why are you saying all this different stuff about me? This isn't cool. He goes, Dad, it sells records, end quote. Now, Drake has since responded on IG with, quote, woke up today so hurt, man. My father will say anything to anyone that's willing to listen to him, end quote. Who do you believe in this situation, Drake or Drake's dad?
How many rappers can you put on the Instagram and say, I woke up today so hurt, man? Like,
that's very Drake-ish, though.
He the only rapper that could do that. Like, that's it. The list stops at, I woke up today and I was so, and you know he sighed beforehand, too. Dennis. But no, really, to be honest, for us to like try to say anything about their relationship would be out of place, out of pocket. But what I do believe is being somebody myself that just grew up with a single mother.
For sure.
Your dad and you probably have different perceptions of what being there is, right? That nigga said he talked to him every day. That doesn't mean that you were there. It doesn't mean that like a phone call and being able to go to your dad for different stuff are two different things.
Yep.
And I do feel like that Drake is speaking from a context of, like, you weren't there like a father was. Like, I grew up with Jewish rich friends. I seen their fathers there.
Right, right, right.
And it probably to a point where now, like, I don't want to rehash this with you. Like, we've made it now. You've heard Drake saying in songs before, like, shit, ain't no need for us to go over old shit. We good now. So I feel like even if his dad came to him and he says they had a quote-unquote deep conversation, I think it was only as deep as Drake wanted to take it at that point because it's over now. I've made it. I'm successful. There's no need for me to harp on those things. Me and you are cool. Let's move forward. Though I do think, because we hear it in his music, that the things did affect him and he's spoken about them and that's the way that he felt about it. So, I mean, telling him that I did it to sell records was probably his way of saying, you know what, I don't want to talk about it.
So, here's the thing, if you take the quote of what Drake's dad said, he said, I talk to him, if not every day, then every other day. Is he talking present day or as they grew up? Because Drake's music is a reflection of how they talk when they grew up.
Well, I mean, the context was when growing up.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but when you say it like the way he worded it, it made it sound like he was speaking on some present day shit. So, but this is how I know that Drake's dad is full of shit right here, dude. Number one, there's never been an absent dad who got back in good and then admitted that they were absent to begin with. That's number one. That's number true. Two, he referenced him when he talked about him. He called him by his stage name. He didn't even call him Aubrey by his actual real government name. Like if I was somewhere, my mom would call me Christopher, or my mom would say my son. She wouldn't call me Animal fucking Brown, dude. So that right there lets me know there's a little bit of smoke, a little bit of fire where the smoke is, and that Pops may have been on one. I know he'd be shaking it and shit, but it sounded a little funny when he said that. But he's doing it to sell records is hilarious, though. Like, that's funny to me.
I mean, like father, like son. He's an attention whore like his son. I don't think I believe him. I really don't know who to believe because they both love the attention. So at the end of the day, I mean, it's fucked up that his dad would go on air and call him a liar. That's fucked up. But I don't know who to believe in this situation. I mean, it's... all of this is smoke and mirrors, man.
Again, man, absent fathers don't be knowing. Like you said, the perception to them is different. Yeah, he may have had a good reason to be absent, so it's
coming from
different.
Two different things. Like a little boy saying my dad isn't there and growing up with the mindset that my dad wasn't there is totally different from a dad being like, well, shit, I mean, I called you every day. Like, made sure you was good. I sent you money. Like, nigga, okay. And?
True.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's very vivid how Drake recollects these events in his life, so I mean, I would be hard pressed to see that he's lying to think that he's lying about this. And then, like I said, Dennis is just, I mean, look at him.
Look at his mustache.
Look at him, man. He loves the attention, man. He can't have, when Drake made it, he couldn't. That's why I don't even understand why he wanted to burn his bridge.
That's true. He don't want to get cut off. He don't want that water cut off.
Yeah. He don't want that credit card to get taken.
Maybe Dennis doesn't know that people write for Drake. And that these people
are actually talking
about their dads. Drake didn't want to tell him, like, really,
I won't stand for Drake's dad.
I don't even write this shit, bro. Like, I don't even, like, to be honest.
Why are you under this impression about Aubrey?
Hey, what if that would have been his response,
that
though?
That he doesn't write his music.
what if his dad would have said,
like, bro, I don't even write this shit, bro. Like, I don't even know. Like, don't come at me with that shit, man. Don't come to me, man.
If he would have said that on Nick Cannon's shit, bro. What did Drake say? Man, he said, I don't even write this shit, bro. So
nigga told me. Flat out told me in his mouth.
We'd have never seen Drake's dad on any camera.
Excuse me, Dennis who?
Been over with, bro.
You remember that
dude that was going around saying he was Drake's dad? Yeah, that dude.
Oh, shit. All right, man. Back to New York. Now, Rolling Loud went down in the Big Apple over the weekend with performances by your usual suspects, Meek Mill, Travis Scott. They paid homage to Wu-Tang, among many others. But there were five artists who were supposed to hit the stage that didn't get a chance to. Now, the NYPD sent a letter to Rolling Loud to advise them that if these five artists performed, then there would be a higher risk of violence due to their affiliations with recent acts of violence citywide. Who were the five, you ask? Pop Smoke, Don Q, Casanova, Chef G, and 22 G's. All were taken off the bill and didn't perform. Mm. Did Rolling Loud make the right call, or did they overreact to the hip-hop police?
I feel like Rolling Loud made the right call. They did this last year. Talked about it. It was at not Rolling Loud, but this was at Summer Jam, also in New York, with the last big festival to be there. And they said they wouldn't let Tekashi in.
Yep.
There's no Rolling Loud gonna get their clicks regardless if these people are there or not. Like you said, Meek Mill and all the bigger name artists get to come there. I think the ball is dropped, though, by these artists. Like, these guys, like, these five should have went and did a song together and dropped that motherfucker that night. too dangerous for New York City or some shit like that, and lean into it. Like, they won't even let us in Rolling Loud because of how real we are or whatever it may be, and just, like, made it into a whole marketing thing. I would have. So I don't really think that there's any losers here, because these guys don't, the people that came didn't specifically come to see them. They came for the big names, and then they crowd gonna come to them wherever they are.
Yeah, that was exactly about to be my point. The reason why Rolling Loud didn't overreact, because these weren't Travis Scott and Meek Mill that they named. They named Travis Scott. Y'all might want to tell Travis Scott to not perform, because they're gonna hang up in their face.
Got you.
Okay, thank you, NYPD. We'll take care of that. Appreciate that. And goddamn it, Astro World is gonna be lit up on stage later.
I'm not risking liability on my insurance for Pop Smoke to come do the hottest song of the summer.
Man, y'all absolutely not. I can't believe you guys are rap fans with this take.
Listen,
you guys sound like conservative.
We're adults.
Oh, man, y'all sound like conservative white men.
I mean, we're adults.
First of all, what recent act of violence, first of all, for Rolling Loud should be ashamed of themselves, number one, for just going off GP and saying, okay, yeah, you have to show me what recent act of violence. What has Casanova done recently?
How do you know?
What has he done recently?
How do you know the New York Police Department didn't do that?
What do you mean? I said Rolling Loud.
The New York Police Department.
I said they would have to. I don't know.
I'm saying, so how do you know?
I said they would have to. I didn't say
that.
That
may have happened, then they may have told him, hey, you can't perform.
Yeah, but we don't know that.
No, we don't know.
You don't know a lot of shit tonight. Yeah,
do you know that?
You just didn't know about the Tekashi deal. You just didn't know about the. Like, what do we know?
Do you know that?
What do we know?
Do you know that?
No, I don't.
So you're hypothetically.
I don't know that Ebro knows anything about program directing. I'm assuming that too, nigga.
Yes, you do. It's on that. That's documented. That's documented.
I don't know. I don't know for sure.
That's documented.
Come on, bro.
That's documented.
Hypothetically speaking.
Yeah, that means you don't know.
What do you think?
I'm telling you, I don't think they did that. I don't think Rolling Loud said, yes, show us what these five artists did and we'll take them off. So, I don't think that. I think they just succumbed to the pressure of the NYPD because they didn't want to have a fiasco like they had in Miami.
And here's the reason why they don't want a fiasco like they had in Miami.
That's the point. So if the police,
but it's not fair to these artists. That's my point.
Okay.
You, for you guys to be saying, oh, I would have done the same. It's not fair to the artist at all.
Oh, so
it's not fair to them at
all. If you are the person that's in charge of Rolling Loud.
Yeah, you have to show
And
me.
The police call you.
Yeah.
And they say, hey, these are what we're concerned. This is what we're concerned about. You just had this issue in Miami. We don't want this to get ugly. You probably want to keep these people off stage.
Yeah,
you're going to respond and say,
show it to me. Show me why.
Then they show it to you.
They
what happens?
Well, then we will beef up security. They check.
And they still perform.
They did. They
so
perform.
You're putting at risk your
perform.
Job, this they whole festival.
That's just what
because you don't believe the police.
I'm having pop,
they have data to do their job.
I'm having Pop Smoke at Casting over there for sure. I'm having Pop Smoke and Casting over there for sure. Did you see the cavity searches they were doing in these vehicles? There's no way anything could have happened.
Bro, you don't
There's no way if anything.
Niggas don't have their fists up their ass, bro.
No, listen, they excluded all of these artists from the bill. And did you see the searches they were doing?
No.
Okay. If you would have saw the searches, it's no way
it
anything.
They're not excluding niggas because
they ripped people's car apart. They were going through the engine. They were going through the trunk, the tires. It's no way anything could have happened.
They're not
with those
excluding
artists.
These artists because they think people are gonna get shot though. They excluding these artists because it makes it dangerous for the people that are in the crowd.
What makes
songs,
what makes them dangerous? What Casanova song going inside a riot?
Damn, I don't listen to Casanova.
Exactly. No one
Neither
knows.
Neither does the person that's over this fucking festival.
Yes,
so you know what they going to listen to? The NYPD. No. And they
Smoke.
Say, hey, these people are dangerous. Are they? Yeah. Shit. We just had a big incident here in Miami. Let's get these guys
you're
off stage.
Right.
That's logical.
Yeah, just because you're loud don't mean you're right. By
okay.
the way.
But that's logical, though.
My point is, Pop Smoke has the biggest song in the city.
Okay.
The biggest song New York has seen in a while.
Since Tekashi had the one that Summer
Jam,
we
don't
let him perform.
We don't mention the clown when we talk about rap.
But
the biggest song
situation.
They've had in a while. So, like I said, if the cops showed them that, that's I don't believe they did. I just believe that the cops were being just picking these artists out,
shit.
And it's just unfair to the artists. I'm pro artists, so you can be who you want to be, but I'm pro artist. So I feel like this was bullshit, and it's not fair to the artists.
But what we want you to understand, well,
I don't need you don't have to have me understand it.
Well,
I get your point.
You're calling me a conservative, and
you're definitely conservative.
You're
not.
You're standing
you're
on
not.
Your soapbox saying that you're pro-artist. I'm also pro-businessman. So whatever is going to lean towards the business making money, I'm always going to skew that way because that's the way that I'm looking from. I'm not looking from this shit as a rapper.
Yeah, and actually, the rappers need to be looking at it as businessmen too. And like you
exactly.
said, doing a goddamn song that night. Instead of being on stage, they were all in the city.
We all got to, now everybody's talking about us. The New York police basically has put out a memo and called us dangerous. Let's go do some dangerous shit like we know how and make some dope-ass music.
Yeah, them niggas should have hit the goddamn Hit Factory or whatever Big Boy studio is still in New York.
Go live. Meet us over here. We're going to turn up right over here.
They should have shook it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's many things that you can do rather than sit around and be mad about not being able to do this.
But the reason they wouldn't, that wouldn't have popped off.
You still can be mad about it.
No, I'm not
sitting.
Right
sitting. Keyword was sitting.
Yeah,
sitting
I don't
around.
Think they're sitting around. It's unfair to them. Like Casanova, what he said in his Instagram
Life
post
about
is unfair.
Fairness, bro.
What Casanova said in his Instagram post is for something that he was a felon in 2009. He said he haven't done anything since, and they're talking about recent acts of violence. It's bullshit. What has he done?
I don't know. I can't answer that. I'm not in New York. That's not hitting my wave.
So, but I get it. Being a conservative that you are, you want to take the NYPD's word for it. That's on you. I mean, I'm pro rapper. You can be pro police.
I think if this would have happened, if this would have happened sooner, if this would have happened
exactly.
No, but that's what I'm saying. If this would have happened, if they would have sent the letter 2 months ago, leading up to this, then I can do some research. But they sent this letter like 2 days before.
And y'all don't find a problem with that.
No, not with these acts, no.
Well, me personally, I'm not saying
that. But you're being biased about the acts. I'm talking about if you send me a letter 2 days before my event, I have a problem.
So let's.
I have a big problem.
Let me clear this part up. I don't have an issue. Well, excuse me. My issue is not saying that the police were right or wrong. They were definitely wrong in what they're doing and the stance that they take. I'm saying, as the business owner, I'm not challenging the police for Pop Smoke.
Yeah,
I'm not doing that.
I mean, I get it. Your point.
I want my credibility in New York City, so next time I try to have my festival here, these guys are not giving me a problem.
Yeah.
It can be, these guys don't perform now, and next time you come, you're good. Or you can let them perform, and then I'm going to give you even more trouble the next time y'all in town.
Yeah, it's a chess
bigger
move,
than
though.
That.
So
I don't give a fuck about
an
artist's feelings.
That's a valid point, but I'm just saying from the artist standpoint, it's bullshit.
I mean, from the artist standpoint, of course, then they feel
a recent acts of violence.
But let's be honest, though. How many acts are in Rolling Loud, bro?
It's a lot.
Thank you. You're missing five of them now.
Yeah, I don't ever want
the show. The show will go on.
I see, but you're missing the point. I'm not talking about
co-signing the police.
I'm not talking
about
make that point. But I'm saying I'm not talking about the festival itself. You're right. It's big enough to go on.
Right.
But my point is that it's just unfair for these artists.
I understand
period.
That. The question was, did Rolling Loud overreact or make the right call? And the answer is they made the right call.
I think they overreacted. You can't tell me 2 days before my show these motherfuckers can't perform.
We can, and then they're not going to perform.
Yeah, no.
That's what's going to happen.
It wasn't mine.
We're the NYPD.
They would perform. And NYPD is known for what? Fuck the NYPD.
Yeah, exactly. But they get to do what they get to do shit
because
like
what? Because you succumb to the pressure? Right. Just like Rolling Out people
did. They get to do shit like
just this. Like, shame on you, Rolling Loud.
And then you try to do that shit next year.
Shame on you, Rolling Loud.
And it ain't no Rolling Loud in New York next year.
You guys want to have a Rolling Loud festival?
That's permit real take, hard.
The police departments don't hand out permits.
Yeah, but the city does. Bosses, the mayor, they come out of the mayor's office, right? Yeah,
it's all the same shit.
Not the police.
I know.
Police can have a gripe.
I know Civics 101.
The mayor's not going to be like, okay, yeah, they let him perform. Let's not have it.
Civics 101, bro.
Come on.
It's Civics 101. Are you playing a Pop Smoke song? Because you caping for him right now.
It was really for Casanova, for real. I mean, I feel bad for him. This song we have is from an artist called IDK. The song is called Alone. Check it out.
Let's hear it.
Pick up your face from off the flow. Ditch all the hate your heart controls. That's just the basic part I know. And if you don't fuck with me, here's some advice to off the low. Hide all your friends and all your hoes. They might just leave you all alone. All alone. I'm trying to get my hand up on a situation. Together we get heated like I'm hugging Satan. I'm busy trying to figure out the path I'm taking. So I ain't got the time for all the gossip, hating fossil fuel. Gassing up your car ain't enough to take you very far, very, very far. So why you at the bottom trying to worry about what I got? I'll be high reaching for the stars. If you don't like me, pick up your face from off the floor. Ditch off the hate.
We are back. That was IDK with Alone. How you feel about that, sir?
I ain't mad at this. This sounds like the song that M Extra has playing in his head when he walks in the room.
What?
That makes sense.
Yeah, could you see that?
Yeah, I can see that.
When I walk in a room?
Yeah, like in your head. You know how baseball players have walk-up music?
No, mine is Say Hello by Jay-Z.
Well, this seems like I'm telling you to me what it seems like it is. And this is it. This is your walk-up music.
That song was cool. That song was actually pretty straight.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was straight enough for me to be like, oh, let me check out this whole tape. But it was a straight song on standalone by itself. It was.
Yeah, he's from Prince George's County, Maryland. Shout out to the whole DMV. I got a lot of talent up there in the DMV, man. Shout out to y'all. Okay. So that's IDK. His whole project actually is pretty good. Alone is a standout track for me. The project is called Is He Real? So if you get a chance, you guys check it out.
IDK. Now, let's keep it DMV.
Yes, sir.
Wale Forlorn dropped his latest album.
My God.
Much delayed, much anticipated. Wow, that's crazy is the name of it. You know how we get down, expectations, initial thoughts, highlights, lowlights, and a final rating. Going into this, what were your expectations for this Wale project?
Yeah, make sure, why don't you start? You're the big Wale fan.
You go ahead.
1201.
I don't want to break the structure. Go ahead.
1201, you were in the group chasing as you was ready. You don't want to go first?
No, I go first.
Because I had high expectations.
I definitely had high expectations. I'm a big Wale fan. He never disappoints me. So I was he had quite a hiatus, but not really. He was dropping some small tapes here and there. He had a few mixtapes that were really good. He had that My Boy Freestyle with Cole that was fire. So he had a pole dancer with Megan. So he kept hitting us with small nuggets here and there. So I was eagerly anticipating this album, to say the least.
High, medium, or low, where you was at with it?
I was on the low end. I'm not a big Wale fan, as it's been, well, musically. I like him as, like, overall act, what he does outside of the booth. But I ain't never really, just going to check a Wale album when it comes out. I do like the album About Nothing, and Seinfeld is one of my favorite shows, so I like that album. I like how he was able to structure an album off the Seinfeld quotes. I feel like that was dope and thought-provoking. So that being said, I know Wale can rap his ass off, but like I said, I'm not running to a Wale album. So I had low expectations coming in. What about you?
Yeah, I was about in medium. I like Wale's catalog and his music. At this point, we're almost getting to the point where his catalog is underrated. But the last album wasn't good. The Shine was some slaw. This one was delayed a little bit. We kind of really didn't know his label situation. I know there was some politics behind the scenes with that type of shit. He had been dropping some loosies here and there, and depending on where you fall on the fence of if you like when an artist does that, or if you'd rather them go the traditional route, put out a single and put out a full body of work, and you can skip the loosies and the EPs and the three tracks here and the two tracks here.
It worked.
That's depending on how you feel about that approach to an album. So I would say I was on the medium side. After listening to it, though, my first initial listen was I liked it. I thought it sounded good. I got kind of the vibe that he was going for, and I feel like it had an identity off Wham. There was a lot of R&B on there. You know what I'm saying? It almost seems as if he called in every R&B favor that he had in his iPhone. He's got a who's who of R&B features on here. But if that's where you're going to go with it, then cool, then go with it. And it didn't come off corny R&B. Like, you know how some people reach for 10 singles on their project? This didn't give me, I'm trying to get 10 radio smashes with these R&B features. It was, I'm trying to make a certain vibe and a certain feel with my project with these 10 R&B features. So I, out the gate, I liked the project. I was fucking with it. What'd you think when you listened to it?
Out the gate, I did think the project was kind of a monotone. I thought I heard the same song or subject matter to say over and over. Wale is an outstanding artist, to say the least. So for him to put together a dope song, I feel like that's nothing. He can wake up and he can do that in his sleep. To be able to expand upon himself as an artist and kind of give us what he rants about or gives us the perception that he sees of himself as one of the best MCs in the game, relaying that to an album is different to do. And I think that he's able to do it. I just don't think that he did it in this album because it only has one layer, in my opinion. It's not being a Wale fan. And that layer is what he's fucking great at. And that's the single with Jeremiah and the R&B feel that you said that it had.
Yeah.
Like, he is fucking fantastic at that. But me, as a, like I say, a fair weather Wale fan at best, I don't need to know that he can do those things. So that's where I stood when I first heard it.
Yeah, I thought so. I get what you're saying, but subject matter wise,
yeah,
this feel gave me like this almost gave me like he was tapping in his Drake shit though. Did anybody peep that? God. Like,
no,
when he's on. But that's the vibes I got. Man, I used to date a girl and it get several songs have that same kind of cadence to it. And that's what Drake has made a living off of. And that's not a knock as if Wale saw Drake and was like, I'm going to repeat with it. No stupid shit like that. I'm just saying it's in the same lane as a Drake project would be. That's all I'm saying.
I guess I get it, but you just can't help yourself with the Aubrey.
That wasn't even to big up Drake or none. That was just what I got
know,
from
I know.
It.
You just can't help yourself. It's all good.
But it's a good project, though.
My initial thoughts, I got completely opposite because it was a theme. This whole, if you even looked at the rollout, it was a theme for this album. This album is about self-reflection, and love is a part of that self-reflection.
For sure.
One of the commercials he had for an album, he was sitting down with a therapist. So if you listen to the songs carefully, it's more than just, I don't get the same thing on every song at all. Like, and on the songs, it's talking about it from different vantage points. Like, you have the song with Bryson Tiller that is called Her Fault, and the one with Dirk, it's My Fault. Like, it's just two sides of the coin for that particular story. And the first song is all about black empowerment, black excellence, bigging up who you are as a person. So I think this album is completely about self-reflection. It gives you different layers of that. And it also, of course, talks about love because that's what Wale does.
You speak.
That's Wale being Wale.
You speak on the Bryson Tiller song. I was going to name some of my highlights. I thought that song was fire.
Yeah.
I was wondering where the hell Bryson Tiller been at. Like, he been pretty quiet lately. Mm. Are we sure Bryson Tiller is nice? Mm. Are we sure?
What do you mean nice?
Like because he came out with a bang with those two with the two records, dropped that album, toured off of it, and we haven't heard from dude like literally since.
Yeah, he fell in love, man.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, he fell in love. I think they got engaged and all that. Yeah.
He didn't get the bag though. All right, fair enough.
Getting checks, obviously. He just put out a song not too long ago called Blame. It's actually a dope record.
Is it making any waves?
Yeah, if you like music.
That would be no. Some other couple joints that I rock with heavy on here. Luckily, since I don't listen to the radio, On Chill has not got on my nerves. So I'm sure they wear that shit out on terrestrial radio.
That's one of my favorite records.
But that song is fire still, even right now. But taking the cheat code away of having a single on there, I fuck with some of the different vibes. I like BGM. And I also like Debbie. I thought what he did on this project, I also like 50 in the Safe, by the way.
Yeah,
but I thought this right here is what Chance the Rapper tried to do when he paid homage to his wife and his relationship.
That's a good one.
And all of that. It's just that the music didn't connect at all. Yeah. And then when people shitted on it, he tried to come out and say, oh, so I made an album about love and y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all want to hear trap and trap this, trap that, trap that. No, nigga. this is what we would want to hear in that same vein, because this is barbecuing that shit. So nice try, Chance. No, we're not falling for the banana in the tailpipe. People are not hating because of the subject matter. They were hating because of bad music. Shout out to Wale for doing it right. What stood out to you on here?
You got
to
leave Chance alone, man. It's really good.
Nah, I'm on him all year.
Pause. Love Me Nina, Semi-Automatic, I loved. I think that was a really dope song.
He was ripping that Semi-Automatic part.
Both parts I liked. I liked the Nina Simone on there. That was fucking fire.
That was hard.
And I liked Meek Mill verse on Routine was fucking fantastic.
He snapped.
He had a dope-ass verse on there. And like you said, On Chill, it's grown on me. I didn't like it at first, but more so now than I do. And I do like Sue Me, the intro. More so for the hook than anything. How could you not like a hook that says "Don't root for everybody that's black"? I don't know if the bars actually necessarily went with it, but
they definitely did.
To me, I didn't like it. I did like the hook. It was dope. And that was pretty much what I had as far as my highlights.
All right, what stood out?
Sue Me caught me off. Man, that song, I replayed that like 6 times, first time I heard it.
It wasn't that good, though, but I'm with you.
For me, it was.
Because of the hook.
For me. No, the hook is from Issa Rae. I know the hook he's just playing off what Issa Rae said, if you didn't know.
Oh, I had no clue.
Of course we knew that.
If you didn't know. I don't know. I can't assume. Assuming makes an ass out of you, not me.
You're right.
So I can't assume.
Spoiler alert also for the people that didn't watch Insecure.
For context.
Spoiler alert to that, too.
It wasn't no Insecure either. It was a red carpet. She was asked a question. She's rooting for everyone black for the award show. But anyway, Sue Me caught me off rip. I love the song with Black. I love the song with Bryson Tiller. And, you know, one of my favorite songs on this album is the song with Dirt. I wasn't expecting this from Dirk. And this was a vibe. This record was a vibe for sure. And it kind of reminds me of that Run record he had with Tiana Taylor and Melly. Mm. And Dirk has that little ride vibe, that smooth, slow vibe. So it was real. I love that song.
I was just glad he didn't rap. So yeah, I'll take that.
Who, Dirk?
Yeah.
Does he ever?
Yeah, I like, you don't like Dirk though.
Nah.
I like Dirk.
But I like them on here though.
Yeah.
Because he didn't rap.
And I like 50 in the Safe for sure.
That's fire.
And shout out to Kelly Price, man. Man. Yeah. Shout out to Kelly Price. Her voice is a fucking amazing.
And that leads to one of my lowlights. I think it should have ended on the Kelly Price.
It was supposed to. I think the other two songs, they should have been just called bonus tracks.
That's what I'm saying. Because you can't have Kelly Price doing what she just did and then have Jacquees come at her. He's not the real king of R&B, dog. He just be saying that shit. Like, you can't have her the way that song ended.
Man.
That's the end of the album. That's how you end your shit.
Yeah.
That's how you stick the landing. Throwing the Jacquees song on there with a beat really too slow for him to even really be.
That Jacquees song is not bad. It's just not. It didn't fit the.
Nah, it didn't fit right there at all.
It's an old song, though. He threw those last two songs. They should have just been bonus tracks. They're both a year old.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
My other lowlight is, and he survived this, though, because this is usually a big issue. The second, he's got a slaw song on here early in the album. That second song, Love and Loyalty, is trash.
You are crazy. And you like Debbie and you don't like that? Debbie is the worst song on the album.
Absolutely not. Love and Loyalty
is a hard record.
Bro, that's that Afrobeat shit that was popping.
Oh, you don't like Afrobeats.
Nah, right. It was cool 5 years ago.
No.
Today in 2019, we're off that.
No, you're not.
We don't need that. French Montana, stop making it. Ray Shrimmer, dude, stop making it.
Drake still.
You are wrong.
Drake, stop making it.
You're washed right now.
We don't need the Afrobeat shit in 2019. It's cooked. It's done. It's over. I just bodied it. It's done. It's dead.
No,
it's over.
You're wrong, sir.
So one of the worst songs on the album is Early, which is a big mistake. But he was able to overcome that, though. But that song was trash. What didn't work for you?
If I had to go with what didn't work for me, I didn't like BGM. It really just wasn't a hot record to me.
I'm two-stepping in the name of love to that.
In fact,
I don't believe that.
That's definitely a two-step record.
Also for me was just that those bonus tracks that you guys spoke of, 14 and 15. I feel like that Wale wants a lot of credit for being such a creative, but he lets labels or people that do stuff to his albums do stuff like this, like add extra songs. Like, this is supposed to be his, whatever y'all call it, his emotional, whatever it may be. And it's just kind of, that takes away from it. And you're supposed to stick the landing when you're an artist like Wale and you're putting out art that speaks to a theme throughout. Don't throw two songs on there because the streaming is cool and because Meg Thee Stallion is popular. I feel like that's the reason that.
Why not?
Because you're Wale and you spend your whole career yelling about the respect that you don't get, yet you're doing stuff to fit in with the rest of the crowd. That's what I
take. Wale had Meg first, but go ahead.
That's what I take from that.
Yeah.
As a Fairweather Wale fan. So I say all of that to say what doesn't work from the album for me, like I said, is just the same tone that I get from it, like just not listening to his music. I would like for him to dive deeper into some of the things that he complains about, whether it be, and I know he addressed this, but his relationship with Cole and why Cole feel like that he even had to address him in that song. Like just how Wale conducts himself as a successful, outspoken black man in America today. I feel like that's an interesting perspective to take, more so in my opinion than one of love. So when you're talking about self-reflection, you guys are right. Love is definitely a part of it, but I think Wale is a deeper artist than that. So that's what I took away from
Real quick, though, I think, does he get a bad rap, though, for the way he responds to some of those questions?
He does, though.
I think because of the way he handled it early, that he can't escape that. And so every time he goes to the Breakfast
Club, people expecting him to snap off. They ask him about, when he's mild.
Are you underrated? Or you like how many times you gonna keep getting asked that?
Right. I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
I mean, well, I get my answer to that first, then I get it. On the Breakfast Club, just most recent interview, I mean, they kind of chimed, but it's not like what it used to be.
Okay,
he's toned down significantly.
Yeah,
thank God. But for me, the low light would be Debbie. That's really the only song I don't like on the album. To be honest, for the Meg Thee Stallion verse, this song came out about a year ago before people who knew who Megan Thee Stallion was. And Wale said, I got this hot chick from Houston, I put on this song. And this is, to me, out of all the Meg features, she bodied this feature. So I get it how it doesn't roll with the album. They could have just, I wish they would have said bonus tracks. So I get that part because it should have ended with Kelly Price. But if I'm Wale, I'm definitely putting this song on the album. If I'm Warner, I'm putting this song on the album because why not? I would definitely do that. I mean, and it's not a bad song. It may not fit the album completely, but neither did Routine. And people like that song.
I think Routine. I like Routine to the Posse.
I like it a lot, but it doesn't fit the album.
But it fits the artist though, because he makes stuff like that with Ross and Meek Mill. You know what I'm saying? So does it fit the tone of this album? Not 100%, but it wasn't out of the norm of a Wale record.
Right. No.
So I still let it slide.
Yeah, it added a much needed layer.
I'm just talking about the theme of the album. Is nowhere near what Routine was, but I love Routine. I mean, it's a Meek record, clearly.
Yeah,
but Wale snapped that song. That line he said about Wentz, but you niggas gonna fold. That was hard.
That was easy. That was clearly a self-made Volume 3 session song that we have yet to hear. Yeah. But if you had to rate this, where are you at on the scale, man? 1 to 5?
3. 3 reels is what I would go with. That's good worth streaming, right?
Yeah,
I go with 3 reels.
I really like the album. I'm gonna go 4. It's fire. I'm really feeling this though, and it's actually gotten better the more I've listened to it.
Facts.
I feel like it took me a second though, because at first I was like, bro, like you killing me. Like he got a who's who. When you got 6 Black, Bryson Tiller.
Black.
You got fucking Kelly Price, Jaquit. I'm like, bro, what you going for? Like, nigga, you going for the Grammy? You're like, what are you doing, bro? It seemed like you're reaching, but it didn't come off commercial to me. So I was like, okay, now I'm fucking with this. It's actually growing on me heavy. So I'm going to say 4, it's fire.
Yeah. This is coming as no surprise. I only dislike one song on this album. I'm giving it 4.5.
Jesus Christ.
This is a really good project. This is actually, this is easily my probably top 3 projects of the year. Shout out to Wale, man. I've been giving him his roses while you can smell them. This is just a phenomenal project.
Where does this fall in his catalog, then? That's got to make it his best album, then.
It's up there. I have personal favorites. I don't know yet,
right.
But it's definitely up there for sure.
Wale ain't got another 4.5 real album.
That's what I was about to say.
I like Ambition a lot. That's
maybe
4.
An album about
Ambition
nothing.
Is 4, and Album About Nothing is definitely 4, at least.
I said 4.5.
I said at least, so that means it can go up.
So it's not.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, nah, he ain't got one on that level. I fuck with his catalog. I fuck with his catalog heavy, and this is a nice bounce back from Shine, because that shit was ass. So shout out to Wale for bouncing back. I was a little bit skeptical, didn't know if he'd be able to do it, but goddamn it, in my opinion, he did it, and I think this will land on my top 10 at the end of the year for sure. Let us know what y'all think, man. Go to Facebook, go into the rap chat. Let us know how you feel about that Wale. Did you fuck with it? Are you fucking with his catalog? Is he overrated? Is he underrated? Overlooked? Underlooked? All of those questions. We have a second music break. What do we have here, sir?
Yes, this one has come from the artist PhymDot. It's called 94 Camry Music. Check it out.
I know I am smelling like double. I don't even smoke, but my bro got a hole on him. Riding with a nigga from the pole with a bull on him. If he trying to go, let me know, ain't he fooling him.
still a misfit. Talking stains and bio statistics. Fitted and sitting low like the leader of Limp Bizkit. Femme Durst, so shorty to bring it on like Kristen or Kirsten, whatever. Niggas should've known better. Lil Weston that raised the nigga. Shout out to the wood, it that saved the nigga. I be in the pool just to hang with niggas. Go downtown. Apple phone, stop being broke and start staining niggas. Damn, all that little money start changing niggas. You know, back when we was still out here fating niggas. You know, Oak Street Beach with the Timbs on. Out here on trash is what we've been on. So we can finesse something real easily. Believe me, we can flip it all if it needs to be. Nappy headed niggas walk around with them BDBs. Jumped off the porch before D Rose was on Mean Streets.
Oh, yeah, I know I what's up? Smelling like yogurt. I don't even smoke, but my bro got a hold on him. Riding with a nigga from the pool with a pole on him. If he tryna go, let me know. Ain't no fault in him.
All right, man, that was PhilmDot with 94 Camry Music.
Fire.
How you feel about PhilmDot?
I have a question.
Okay.
Just a song.
How do you come across PhilmDot? Like, did somebody send this and say, hey, this is cool, I know you like music, did,
no,
was it
was
on
searching.
Your Explorer page?
Just found it.
And you stopped at a nigga with a song called 94 Camry.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting title.
Gotcha.
Song is jamming. I like the song.
It's not bad.
Yeah. The song is ass. That was no, genuine. There's question. No need to wonder. The song is ass.
The song
dude.
Is ass.
And then
ass.
What?
It's ass. Bro, you're a fucking hater. Like
that song is
it's
ass.
It's like a, what is it?
It's not ass
Neo
at all.
Soul rap type song.
No.
Ass.
No, it's not ass.
It reminds me of like Nappy Roots or some shit like that.
Shout out to all the people who called me last week and said, who's this old ass nigga who don't like Lil Keith? It's the same old ass nigga who don't like PhilmDot.
Absolutely. And why
people know who PhilmDot is?
No, they don't.
No, I'm talking about last week for Keith.
I'm serious. Like, if you call somebody and be like, this nigga didn't like PhilmDot.
He's a new artist.
And if they were like, damn, he don't, I would be fucking floored.
But no, part of this is to highlight new artists. And I'm giving this guy a shot. The song is hard to me. I don't know what you are. If you don't like, he's from Chicago. New Chicago rap sensation, as they call him on Nylon.com.
Chicago is so diverse, man.
It definitely is. But I'm fucking with this record heavy. I like this record better than the first record.
To think this nigga came from the same city as Chief Keef.
So you don't like the song?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, no,
song
you
is
just
cool.
Yeah.
No, song is ass.
Song cool.
Song
like,
is good.
I get his lane to the whole 94 Camry thing. Like, as soon as
yeah,
you hit play on the song, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you knew it.
All
it
of this makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a skip. All right, before we get out of here, man, we got a question of the day. Speaking of skips, man, Joe Budden has some strong words for Def Jam artist Logic.
Skipping Logic?
While listening to French Montana's new song Twisted featuring Juicy J, A$AP Rocky, and, of course, Logic, Budden proclaimed Logic to be, quote, easily one of the worst rappers to ever grace a microphone.
It ain't far.
I know how successful you are, but I have to be honest, you are horrible, man, end quote. Now, I don't want to debate if Logic is the worst rapper to ever grace a mic. I do want to know who are some of yours, in your opinion, top three worst rappers to ever grace a mic.
Top three worst rappers to ever grace
for you to say.
A mic.
Oh, my God. Enunciate. Use your
in
vowels.
In my opinion.
Okay.
Number one, Silk the Shocker.
That's disrespectful.
That's facts.
I love No Limit and fuck with
it was
but
fucking horrible.
Me going back and listening to that shit nowadays, it's rough.
There was other people on No Limit worse than him, but go ahead.
That's true, but we talking about my worst. Yeah. Next is Shorty Low.
Oh,
I didn't realize this until I was listening to T.I.'s podcast. Until I was like, he didn't want to do no song with him at first because of how bad he was. And I was like, Shorty Low wasn't that bad. Then I went back and listened to some Shorty Low. He was that bad.
Jesus Christ.
And Lil B.
That's oh yeah,
Lil B might be the worst rapper to ever like be successful.
Terrible.
To turn what he turned into like speaking gigs at fucking Harvard, like fucking that is one of the most amazing feats that ever happened in rap, dude. Like that is a fact. Who do you have?
In no particular order.
Ogre.
Really?
Yeah. Go ahead.
So you fucked up. So now you want
to
put me on?
Get your back tough. I was waiting on that. That was perfect.
Oh shit. Okay, no particular order. I got to go Designer. He's fucking terrible. I've got to go.
Run up on Designer.
I think Blueface is one of the worst rappers
I've
ever heard.
That's recency bias.
Nah, well, yeah, it is because there's several. Listen, I listen to a lot of shit.
I was going
to
say like.
So, listen, this list could change at any time.
What's that nigga named this friends with Tekashi?
Who?
They was on the same label.
Oh, Trippie Redd?
That nigga's easily one of the worst rappers in the history.
He's one of the worst right now. He's terrible right now.
Worst period.
And then I gotta go Nah, it's tough. I go Birdman. Because Birdman.
Yeah, Birdman's trash.
Birdman is terrible. I can't Baby
give you that.
Was
just based off the history. I can't give you that.
Nah,
based
off what like, history?
Baby
the
Stunner.
Big Time was album.
That's Baby.
Them niggas are terrible.
The Big Time's album is a.
But they can't rap.
Never once did I say the niggas could rap. What I'm saying is they did some of the best shit. Like they did Jeezy before Jeezy. I'd say.
What?
What I'm saying is
Baby is
cool.
Used to take off.
Baby
I've
is
never
cool.
heard anybody say that in my life.
Birdman,
they
which
probably
is
ain't heard Big
Timers Baby from
I've heard Big Timers.
5 to present is trash. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
all that Big Timer slide.
Baby
though.
Is y'all trash.
Listen to that Big Timers Volume Baby. 2, man. Y'all crazy.
Look, y'all did some slaw too, but go ahead.
Manny
yeah,
rip
mine was gonna be. I'm definitely gonna take Silk. He is like
niggas is hating on Silk though. That's like the easy layup.
Baby better. Than
like, who's the worst man? Silk the
Baby here. Better than Silk.
What do you mean?
Fuck out of
if
here.
If it's an easy layup, that means he's terrible.
So wait a minute, hold on.
That be, if it's easy,
Baby
that means
is
he's terrible.
Is Charge to the Game some slaw?
Nah.
Silk is a trash
rapper. Is Charge to the Game some slaw?
I never like No Limit. So don't
How You Love That Volume 2 is better than Charge to the Game, though.
Yeah.
Like, not even question. You talking about Baby and Silk. How You Love That Volume 2, the green Cash Money CD with Big
Charge
Timers.
Charge to the Game is frying that.
You fucking sick?
Frying it.
That's probably one of the best albums that come
Y'all
out on the old
trash rappers. That's
frying
crazy.
It. Who else you got?
I got Soulja Boy.
He's some slaw. No question. Nah, ain't no question about that.
And my last one would be who's that? What's that dude who had that one hit up on it? McConan.
He's trash. I was gonna say Macklemore, but
Macklemore can rap though.
Can he?
Yes, better than fucking Birdman. The fuck?
He ain't better
got a Grammy nominated album.
He ain't better than Baby,
here.
Did you say he got a Grammy nominated album?
Grammy,
I wouldn't
Grammy.
Bring that up though.
Well, he had a Grammy. He has one.
Yeah, but
Kendrick should have won it, but he was nominated.
But let's bring it up.
Yeah, Baby would never have
Flo
a
Flo Rida was nominated as well.
Baby would never.
I don't care. Did Baby
Flo Rida was nominated as well. So hold on. OJ
Flo Rida can rap better. Oh, that's on my list.
That's a good
Yeah, take that off.
OJ Juice Man can't rap.
OJ Juice Man cannot rap.
He was entertaining,
but
he can't rap.
That's a good one.
He cannot rap. Yes, take him. Put him number 3 on my list.
Real quick, though. Best not good rapper?
Baby. Again.
That's now, put him in that category.
Or Manny Fresh.
Put him in that category.
Y'all cannot be serious.
Now, the best slaw rapper is Crunchy Black. He the best slaw rapper of all time.
That's a good one.
Him and ODB.
I won't even entertain this.
What about Juicy J?
Nah. Juicy J wasn't that bad. He was not.
He was just okay. Yeah, he wasn't that bad. It's Crunchy Black is the slow.
DJ Paul's worse
rapper.
Than Juicy J. That's a fact.
That's true. Point blank is there's more worse rappers than Logic. Is my whole point. And
Logic is trash.
Now that's fair. I can understand people not liking his music though. That's an acquired taste. But have you heard this song that they're referencing, the French Montana?
Why would they put Logic on his song?
Logic doesn't fit the song at all. But French Montana wasn't talking about shit.
French Montana cannot rap, number one.
That's my point. So to even get to Logic's part, you had to sit through French Montana garbage-ass verse.
Who is the motherfucker? Who in the group chat like French Montana? Jay and who else?
Big Jeff. That's
Big
his
Jeff.
Man.
Yeah, Jeff he is trash.
French Montana, garbage.
He is trash.
Without features, dude wouldn't even exist.
I don't even know how French Montana has a career. I don't get it.
So Prince Montana, the worst rapper in the game right now?
I don't get it. He's definitely up there. Top 5, easy.
Mm. Blueface worse than him, though.
So he's up there, top 5. Blueface is horrible.
Blueface.
I don't believe that.
You don't believe what?
Blueface is his recency bias. And now I think that he leans into it. You're right, I did say it right now. I think that he leans into it, too. In the sense that niggas is calling him terrible, now he just tries his best to be as
That's
bad
possible.
As he can. Like, I'm going to be famous off his fucking best worst rap song, if that makes sense.
Rap song?
Yeah.
What's that? What you got?
Mr. Big.
Oh, yeah.
What
is it?
These hoes. Yeah. Mr. Big in the house talking about these hoes.
That shit was banging, though.
But that's a bad rap song by a bad rapper, but it's banging.
You talking about the
what the other song?
Take that shit to trial.
Take that shit to trial. That's what I'm trying to
say.
That shit was banging.
That song banging.
He ripping.
I said a bad rap song.
No, he ripping that.
Get out of here. A bad rap song, anything Webby and enter it. That nigga's trash.
As you, ain't gonna be able to make it in
trash.
Baton Rouge. So
why would I even go to Baton Rouge? For what?
Brought up Webby.
You think I want to catch flies in my mouth? Go to Baton Rouge? For what?
All right.
Even Boosie moved.
I'm telling you.
Webby's trash, dog. You know it.
Nah, Webby's some slaw.
He is trash.
That Savage Life won a classic, though.
Said no one ever.
I'm telling you. Said a lot of people.
Listen, man. Let's go ahead and get to this On Decker of the Week. Shout out to And my man has probably won this a million times. But shout out to Bambino Pesci.
You keep giving it to him?
Absolutely. Keep putting piff in the that damn.
That's funny.
Shout out to Bambino Pesci. He shared a photo of my guy Master P with his own wrestling network. Let's go, P.
What?
Shit.
Is this a big deal?
What?
It's a huge fucking deal. He's right here with Westside Gunn, who is a huge wrestling fan.
What the They're fuck gonna are do we talking
big
about?
Fucking things. We're talking about P, goddammit. Thank you, Bambino. More P in the chat.
Literally, you went rogue with that On Decker of the Week.
Shit.
Bambino,
hold on,
that man. Is not an official On Decker of the Week.
More P in the chat.
We're sorry. We'll name two people next week. We apologize.
This man has veins coming out of his neck.
That
right
wasn't
now.
A good post. We don't understand. Like, P, bro.
Where did you, what are you right now?
More P in the chat.
I'm your conscience. Yeah. Where are you?
Master P is going to have the worst wrestling league on the face
God.
Of the earth.
They
and
worse,
I fuck with P.
They're going to be worse than them.
This is the fairground wrestlers, dude.
Dude, I'm rooting for everybody black, dude. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
Bambino
like
in New York.
That. It's full circle.
Yes, in New York, right? Shout out to my New York listeners, man. I'm going to be up there the week of the 24th. 24th, 25th.
Oh, you got a court date?
In New York?
No, just playing.
y'all pull up on me, man. I'm gonna holler at a couple of the On Deckers, man, when I'm in the city, man. So y'all, you know, reach out to me and see what we can figure out.
So starting off with the last week,
shit.
We had the aforementioned Wow, That's Crazy from Wale. We had number 9 from Lil Kim. Give a queen some roses while she can still smell them.
I heard it wasn't talking about shit, though.
Yeah, I haven't heard it, but shout out to the queen. She's one of the best to ever do it. We had Plan of Attack with Currency and Trademark and Young Roddy. Casanova Behind the Scars, actually a decent project for sure.
Casanova had a couple joints on there, yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, he had some good joints on there. And your boy, YK Osiris, the golden child. Someone has lied to this man his whole life.
That's
true. And told him he was a golden child?
Yes. He's no Eddie Murphy. And shout out to...
Animal Brian has no idea what you're talking about right now.
That's not true.
Oh, you don't? Oh,
he's never seen the golden child.
You've never seen the golden child?
Oh, no, I haven't seen the golden child.
Wow.
He has no idea what you're talking about.
And young Boy Never Broke Again, his project, Al, Young Boy 2.
AI. Can,
oh, it was AI?
Did you say...
I'm sorry.
Hey, at least I knew that.
Yeah, I do not like him. But shout out to Ty. She tried to get me to listen to this past weekend. I had to turn it off immediately.
Shout out little TJ, though. True to myself. That's banging. He one of the hottest out of New York, too.
Oh, really? Yeah, I played TJ record early this year. Y'all weren't fucking with it.
Shout out TJ hard.
Oh, now he's hard.
I've been fucking with him, though.
Shout out Great Ape.
Let's find the tape, people. Let's find the tape.
Shout out that Great Ape album that came out.
Yeah, Great Ape. Shout out the whole, the Great Ape is...
Shout
I love
that
his
whole
treat.
Goddamn that whole goddamn West Side boy, goddamn right. The Nick down that bank kid shit boy, goddamn go ahead.
He's from College Park, but shout out to the Great Apes. That whole tape is banging. Shout out to the whole crew over there. Shout out to Pat, all y'all. That was a good project. Putting on for the city. Last dope boy left for show.
Anything coming up this week?
This week we have Waptober.
Another
part
Gucci
two.
Man out.
Gucci is milking it for what it's worth. I wonder what his deal is like. Cause they had to tell him he had to put out a certain amount. I wonder what it's like. But Waptober coming out, and we also have. No, that's not coming out to the 23rd. But it's Black Moon, One for the Moon, and Joey Trap Jack 3.
Man, did you know Gucci the movie? He's got a movie coming out for real. You see that? There was a movie producer on Breakfast Club that said he's actually, that's a go. That's a green light. That's a real thing.
I'd go to that. A Gucci Man movie.
That's yeah, based off the book and shit.
He's the only rapper to kill somebody that you know of.
Yeah, it should be entertaining.
I'd go see that.
Will it do numbers?
I don't know about numbers. About it's going to do a decent amount. It's going to be regional.
That's definitely Netflix Lionsgate film. That's 1,000,000%.
What you got on?
You can't put no Gucci Man in the theater. I don't think.
Yeah, that's going. It had to be under the guise of something else, and then it turns out that this was his story.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
What you got on deck for the weekend?
Fall is here. Got here a little quicker than I expected.
Quicker?
So
shit took forever.
It did take forever, but then it hit us, and it was like, goddamn. So
when it hit, it hit.
Like, goddamn, shot. Yeah, it did hit. So I'm preparing for fall. Got some shit to do around the house and chilling, man. What you got?
Sneaker Con is this weekend. I'm debating pulling up to that. It's gonna be going down, man. I almost went last year too. It was shaking. My man told me the line was stupid. So if I go, if I wake up and get out there early, then I'm gonna fuck with it.
What is this, the thing where you gotta wait in line and buy tickets?
Man, you know how people hold the line up and shit, though, man. Yeah. It's a sneaker convention, buy, sell, trade. But the fact that you have to pay to get in to buy something is corny to me. That's whack. But I may fuck with it anyway. Find me some grails or something. What you got on deck?
Service for the grails. For me, I really don't. I have a lot of work to do this weekend. It's going to be a last minute decision if I'm making to Nashville for Tennessee State's homecoming.
TSU homecoming.
Yeah, so I may do that. So we shall see.
Did you see Joker yet?
Yes, Joker.
What you thought about
him? Amazing.
Okay.
Great film. I give it about 8.5 out of 10.
It's one of the better. It's up there with Dark Knight.
Yes.
That shit was fire.
Yes.
And check out that Netflix show with Cardi B, Chance, Unfortunately, and T.I. It's actually pretty entertaining.
Unfortunately,
what do you mean, Unfortunately?
No, Unfortunately, Chance. I don't know why he's right.
Your Chance hate is real.
Man, what did Chance do to you?
What did he do to you?
Become a plant?
Jesus
I don't know.
Christ.
Become a plant. Let us know what y'all think, man, about this Wale album.
But you like Logic.
Follow us on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe, all that good shit. And go to Tune Trials on YouTube, man. Just type in Tune Trials Episode 3. You'll see the feature, you'll see the episode featuring On Deck TV.
Crown me.
Rematch.
Crown me.
Rematch on the Tune Trials.
That shit was fun. That was a good time, though. I had a good time doing that shit, man. It's a lot harder sitting in the seat.
I think it was rigged, man. One of my headphones didn't work. There were distractions going on. Damn, Diddy, I didn't know. I was stacked against me.
Nice
man.
Try,
boy. I got more excuses than a nigga in jail.
y'all go to realvillemedia.com, man. Y'all go to the contact page. We are looking for interns. Be better if you were local here in Atlanta. So go tell us what you do. Leave that information on the contact page, man, and we'll follow up with you. So we definitely appreciate that. That's realvillemedia.com.
Yes, and if you are doing that and you DM us, please have correct information with your email address and all of that, and we will respond accordingly.
Yes. Absolutely, man. Till the next time.
We out.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.